want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is Against All Odds. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
Let's look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 through 6. It says, "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no children. So a servant in my household will be my heir. And then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And he took him aside and said, Look up at the sky, count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And Abram believed the Lord. And he credited it to him as righteousness. Now I want to look at Romans chapter 4, New Testament, and we're going to read this out of the Passion Translation. And this is where we get the title of the message, Against All Odds. Everybody say, Against All Odds. When it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. Your descendants will be so many that they will be impossible to count. In spite of being nearly 100 years old, when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. He never stopped believing God's promise, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child. And because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God had all the power indeed to fulfill his promises, Abraham glorified God. So if God says that he'll do something for you, he'll do it. I believe we need to start this new year out with some great expectations. We need to start this new year out. I'm not telling you that we need to, you know, have a bunch of fluffy ideas, but I believe we need to start this new year out saying, God, what do you want to do in and through my life? Because I know if you want to do it in and through my life, it's going to be great. And if he tells you that he's going to do something for you, he will do it. And so he always keeps his promises. But there are some things that you and I have to do in order to receive from him. God always does his part. In fact, I posted on my Facebook page this morning something along the lines of that, you know, God will go 9 steps towards you, but he will not take the 10th step of repentance. He'll do everything that needs to be done up to that point, but then you've got to come to repentance. And what does repentance mean? It doesn't just mean I say I'm sorry for something bad that I did. That's a part of repentance. But repentance means I change the way I think and I start thinking the way God thinks. I start seeing things the way God sees. I get his perspective instead of my limited perspective. That's what repentance really means. A lot of people think repentance means just saying you're sorry, but I've seen people say they're sorry and keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again because there's no repentance. You'll keep doing the same thing over again until you change your mindset. And see things the way God sees them. Then you can have some real change. Okay. So the best example of this is seen in the life of Abraham. And so when God promised Abraham that Sarah would give birth to a son, think about this. Abraham had to ignore his natural circumstances. Anybody in this room got natural circumstances? I guarantee you, you got some. Some you know about, some you don't even know about. And against all odds, the Bible tells us, he had faith in God's promise. He had to ignore his natural circumstances. Well, listen, that's easier said than done, because when that circumstance is right in my face, screaming at me, hollering at me, and telling me how impossible things are, it's kind of hard to ignore it. But he had to ignore those circumstances, and he believed that God was powerful enough to do what he said he would do. So the scripture today shows us the steps, I believe, that Abraham followed to receive the fulfillment of the promise that God had made to him, even against all odds. Now, I'm curious this morning, is there anybody in this room that feels that God has made a promise to you that literally is against all odds? I mean, you feel, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. It just, if God is not moving in this thing, it can't possibly happen, right? So let's look at these steps. Number one, against all odds, take God at his word. That's where it starts. You got to take God at his word. Verse 18, it said, against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. The NIV says he took him at his word. He took God at his word. When somebody says something, you know, I've often said faith is developed. The more you know God, the more faith is developed, because you begin to know his character and you begin to realize that God's word never fails, that God is not a liar. He cannot lie. That if God says it, he means it. Now, there's a lot of things people say God said that he never said, and then they get all, you know, disgruntled and confused and upset and everything else and want to backslide. But it wasn't faith they had, because it didn't originate with God. It was just foolishness or presumption that they were standing in. But he took God at his word. If God says it, understand, you can believe it. And if you will dare to believe it, you absolutely can have it. But again, I want you to understand, that doesn't mean I can just conjure something up in my head and convince myself of it and then stand on it and say, I'm believing God's going to do it, and think that you're believing in faith, because you're not. Faith originates with God's word. Faith cannot exist apart from what God has said. Only what God has said is God obligated to do something about. Amen. Everybody follow me on that. It's not the first time I've said that. But if he said it, you can absolutely stand on it and you can have it. Now, number two, against all odds, your faith must override the facts. Your faith must override the facts. Now, I want you to notice what the scripture says in verse 19. In spite of being nearly 100 years old, when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the fact. What fact? The fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. Listen, it wasn't that it was just a thought in his mind that we might not be able to conceive a child. The man was 100 years old. His wife was 90 years old. They were incapable naturally of conceiving a child. And to be honest with you, even though I believe it was a terrible misstep on his part and on Sarah's part, because it was actually Sarah's idea for him to have a child with Hagar, their servant, even that was a miracle, because the man was 100 years old. And so here's the point. Notice the NIV says it this way: without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact. You know, even though faith believes that with God all things are possible, faith has to keep its eyes wide open. And where it says he faced the fact, the Greek emphasizes that Abraham carefully thought through the whole situation. And notice, he faced the facts. He didn't run from them. Now, I've seen people who claim to be operating by faith run from the facts, because they think, if I face them, I'll never be able to get past them. No, you always face the facts. Now, you keep your eyes on Jesus while you're facing the fact. You keep your mind on his word while you're facing the fact. You keep your spirit in tune with him while you're facing the fact. But God never told you to run from the fact. You face the fact. And that's what he did. It was an absolute fact. The man was 100 years old and she was 90 years old. And it was a natural impossibility for them. But he faced it. He didn't run from it. It's kind of like this. Let me give you an example. Many times in our realms of believing and faith teaching and all, many times we can get this mixed up. And for instance, you know, a person will refuse to get a diagnosis. Now, they may have cancer in their body or they may have something else going on, but they just say, no, I just refuse to believe that. I just refuse to believe that. But hear me closely. He never said deny the fact. If there is a sickness in your body, you don't deny that sickness is in your body. You deny that sickness's right to be there. You don't run from the fact. You just bring the truth to the fact. You don't run from it. You don't say, you know, I'm just not going to believe. I think that doctor's lying to me. No, the way faith really works is faith don't get intimidated by the fact. The fact is there's a sickness, there's a disease, or whatever the other problem is, and it has a name. But I serve a God whose name is Jesus, who is the name above all names. His name is greater than every other name. And at that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that he's Lord. Every situation, everything has to bow to the name of Jesus. So it's important to understand that he faced the fact. He didn't run from it. I have seen people in denial, and they're just in denial of something that's a fact in their life. And because of that, they never turn and face that thing and then deal with that thing the way they need to deal with it. They never take authority over it because they're running from it and they believe they're in faith. I hope y'all catch what I'm saying here. He didn't let those circumstances influence his faith or tear at his faith. And again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you to ignore the crazy circumstances and do something crazy. But I'm telling you that when you're believing to receive the fulfillment of a promise from God, when you have a rhema word from God, when you have a word, listen, what is a rhema word from God? It's the revealed word from God. It's something that you catch with your spirit, not just with your head. You know it. You just, Brother Holton used to say, you know in your knower. By the way, I spent about 2 hours talking to him on the phone the other day. If you don't know who Brother Holton is, he's the pastor I grew up under. I was saved under his ministry at 7 years old. He's 93 years old now. The man's still clear as can be, and he's still talking faith. And every time I talk to him, he's sharing testimonies with me, the supernatural and the miraculous. And I had a wonderful time. But he spoke something to me while we were on that phone. And he said, listen, I want you to know, I pray for you and your family and your church. Every single night, me and my family get together. There's not a night that goes by that we don't pray for y'all. And he said, there's also other times when the Lord prompts us to pray for y'all. I said, thank you so much. I appreciate that so much because I know that he's a man of faith. I've seen it demonstrated in his life. But he said this in the conversation. He said, some good things are coming this year. Good things are coming this year. How many of you received that? Good things are coming. Now, that don't mean the bad things aren't going to try, but we got good things coming too. So I'm telling you that when you're believing to receive the fulfillment of a promise of God, and when you have that rhema word from God, you can't let your natural circumstances dictate the outcome. It doesn't mean the natural circumstances aren't there. It just means that we see beyond the natural circumstances to the other side of this thing. And you let the word of or from God dictate the outcome. And it doesn't matter what you're believing God for. You don't have to run from the circumstances that surround your particular situation. You face them. You speak forth the word that God has given you. Now listen, understand, you can go out in presumption and even speak forth his word. But if it's not a rhema word to you, you can speak it all you want. That devil ain't scared of you. But when you have that rhema word in you and you speak forth that word through the power of the name of Jesus, then I'm telling you, devils run. And so his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the fact. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead, and listen to what he says, and calls things that are not as though they were. Now, I've heard that all my life, that teaching about calling things that are not as though they were. But many people have turned that around and they start calling things that are as though they're not. Hear me, there's a difference. God never told us to deny or to lie. A person could be sicker than a dog. I mean, just sick, vomiting their guts out. They feel terrible. I mean, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. I'm blessed. I'm not. Well, nothing wrong with saying I'm blessed. But I've had people tell me, no, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. Yeah, you sick. You don't run from the fact. You face it and you deal with it through the authority of the name of Jesus and the authority of his word. Amen. And so, again, the scripture did not say God calls things that are as though they were not. It says he calls things that are not as though they were. You can call things into being because they're in the natural realm that have already been revealed to you in the spiritual realm. Amen? That's what this is talking about. So don't deny that there's a problem, but don't stop there. Come into agreement with God. Call forth the solution and the outcome, which you cannot see in the natural right now, but you know in the spiritual has been provided for. Nothing wrong with saying, yeah, I feel sick as a dog, but I'm declaring I'm healed through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the beating he took. I am blessed. I have wisdom from God. I am free. Nothing wrong with declaring. Those are spiritual realities that we have to bring into the natural. So you first have to acknowledge that there's a problem before you can even do something about the problem. And that goes for any problem. You know, you had to acknowledge that you were a sinner who needed a Savior before you could possibly get saved. If you ran from the fact that you were a sinner, you never got saved. It works the same way with healing and anything else. So God never told us, again, to lie about a situation or to pretend it doesn't exist. What this is really teaching us is this, that we don't look to the problem as the end of the story, but we look through the problem to Jesus, who is the Alpha, the beginning, and the Omega, the end. And that's why it's called history, his story. So when Moses sent the 12 spies into the promised land and 10 came back with a bad report, listen, God wasn't angry because they had discovered the giants. How many of you know God knew there were giants in the land and he still sent them over there? He was angry because they believed that the giants were greater than him. He wasn't surprised by the giants. God had already told them that he had given them the land. And then Joshua and Caleb never denied that there were giants in the land. They just refused to believe anything other than what God had spoken to them about those giants. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The King James says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, by the way, the word weakening there, where it says without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact. It means to be feeble, to be diseased, to be impotent, to be sick. So a lot of people have, and this is specifically talking about his faith. His faith was not weakened. So it is possible to have a faith that is kind of a diseased faith. It's weakened. There's faith, but there's no power there. And so Abraham's faith was not sick or feeble, but well and strong. You know, there are some people who have enough faith to believe that God can forgive them of their sins, but somehow they can't get past this idea that he can somehow heal their bodies as well. God can come to this earth and die for your sins so you can go to heaven, but they can't believe that God can take care of this situation that you're dealing with. That seems overwhelming. And so they have a sort of a weakened faith. It gets corrupted. God knew what he was doing when he sent them into the promised land, and he knew what he was doing when he told Abraham this. And so Abraham's faith was so strong that even though he was faced with the fact that both he and Sarah were beyond the age of having children, he knew that God promised him that they would have a son and that Abraham, listen, he didn't even blink an eye. Now, it didn't start that way. Poor Sarah, she always gets talked about because the Bible says that she laughed. How many of you remember that? Sarah laughed. The women always get the blame. Poor Eve got all the blame. You know, Sarah gets the blame for laughing like she had no faith. But if you look at chapter 17, you'll see that Abraham also laughed. In fact, the Bible says he fell on his face and laughed. Nobody ever talks about that. Even Abraham laughed. Okay. But that's because Abraham, I think, was only seeing in the natural. But at some point in that encounter, Abraham grabbed something in his spirit. And that's, again, faith is of the spirit. All right. Both of them in the natural, it just seemed impossible for both of them. But Abraham had faith because he grabbed a hold of something. He grabbed it with his spirit. And from that point on, there was no turning back. He did not allow the obstacles that were in front of him to stop him from believing God. Now, the third thing is that against all odds, never stop believing God's promise. I've seen people start out believing a promise from God and then waver from that. And usually it's because it didn't happen in the time frame they thought it should. How many of you have some promises that you've been waiting for a long time? Man, I got promises I've been waiting for a long, long time. maybe even long, long, long. But he never stopped believing God's promise. The NIV says, yet he did not waver. The King James says he staggered not. So if you'll go back and read the story in Genesis again, and you'll see that Sarah actually laughed. And in chapter 17, that's Genesis 18 where it talks about Sarah. And then in chapter 17, you'll see that Abraham laughed as well. But something had to take place in them because, again, even though it was a bad decision, it was very unwise. Even Sarah suggesting that Abraham have a baby with his servant means she had at least some faith that her 100-year-old husband could make a baby, right? It just was kind of misplaced a little bit, right? How many of you know it's easy sometimes for us to believe a promise about somebody else, but it's kind of hard for us to believe it about ourselves? You know why? Because we know ourselves better than anybody knows us. And our mind is real good at disqualifying us from the things of God. So you got to be able to press through all that. It's one of the obstacles that comes against you. But the Bible says he didn't waver. The contemporary English version says it this way, but Abraham never doubted or questioned God's promise. A person who staggers or wavers in faith will not receive anything from God. In fact, James chapter 1, verse 6 through 7 says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Now remember, when you're talking about in the faith realm, you're not talking about the head. You're talking about the spirit. So he says, when he's talking about he must believe and not doubt, I learned a long time ago, faith is in the spirit. I have to ignore what my mind is saying and say, what does the spirit say? When I'm going to pray for somebody for some kind of a supernatural healing or a miracle or something like that, believe you me, my mind doesn't believe that's going to happen. My mind never believes that's going to happen. But I have to override my mind and go with, what does the spirit say? And that's what I'm going to go with. And so as a result of that, you see miracles and healings and things like that happen. I learned that if I believe what my mind is telling me, then I'll believe that I'm just a doubter with no faith and that it can't possibly happen. And so what happens is I won't even try. And I think a lot of God's people fall for that. Faith is in the spirit. It's not in the mind. You can have doubts in your mind, although your mind needs to be renewed, but don't believe the doubts of your mind. Tell your own mind to shut up. I'm hearing from what the Spirit says right now. Again, Brother Holton says, you know it and you know her. I know people who have read a faith-inspiring book or listened to a powerful sermon and they felt sky high spiritually and they you know, really strong in their faith, it seems. And they make all the right confessions and they keep concentrating on that confession. But a few days later, they start to waver so that they never receive the answer to their prayers. They did exactly what they weren't supposed to do. They wavered. They staggered. And so they begin to consider the situation as bigger than God. Again, God doesn't want us to ignore the situation. What he wants us to do is know that he's bigger than the situation. That's faith. The enemy will always try to get you to focus on your circumstances. And when you make a statement of faith declaring what you're believing God for, the first thing he'll do is start asking you questions and trying to sow seeds of doubt. And they'll start, you know, he'll start saying, well, have you thought about this? Have you considered this? Do you know that what you're believing for goes against what's happening in the world? That's impossible. He may even ask you, why hasn't God answered you yet? Anybody ever had to deal with that one? How come God hasn't done this yet? Apparently, it's not supposed to happen. You must have missed it. If God were going to answer you, he would have already done it. And so actually, the tactics of the enemy are no different today than they were in the Garden of Eden. Again, when the enemy came to Eve and he said, did God really say? He's always going to do that. You know why the devil does that? Because it works. He'll get us to question. He'll get us to stop listening to the spirit and start listening to the head. And so if the enemy can get you to believe a twisted version of God's word, then he can get you to waver, to stagger, and forfeit the promise of God. So things like, it must be God's will for me to be sick or poor or depressed. I've talked to people who believe that. Well, you know, God's will always happens. No, it doesn't. It doesn't happen if I don't come into agreement with it. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Yet millions of people perish without repentance. God's not willing for that to happen. God's will does not always happen. We have to cooperate with him. The enemy's just going to say things like, well, you know, what will be, and that's just the way it is, and all kinds of other lies. Amen. You got to be able to recognize those lies and don't fall for them. All right, number four, against all odds, be strong in your faith. Be strong in your faith. The Passion Version says it this way in verse 20, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child. Notice what it says. He was made strong. Well, here's the good news about trials and tribulations. They actually can work for you. This is what made his faith strong. It was the conflict itself between his faith and the unbelief of his own mind trying to steal his promise that made him stronger. You know why? Because that causes faith to have to be exercised. Nothing wrong with exercising your faith. In fact, you need to exercise your faith. He kept holding on to God's promise, and that exercised his faith. So God will allow the enemy to come and throw all his doubts and all of his things at you because he expects us to exercise the faith. It always comes back to, what did God say? I can tell you over the years, many, many times, you know, especially early on when things got hard, when we wanted to quit, when I felt disqualified and didn't know what I was doing and all this kind of stuff with the church, I'd always have to go back to this. What did God say? I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, he told me to come to Iway and pastor this church. I had to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, because when hard things happen and there was great heartbreak and there were, you know, sometimes people that you thought were your best friend just became your worst enemy, all of that kind of stuff. When you're accused of things that certainly were not true, all of those things come against you. You better know what God said. And I won't say his name, but I had a good pastor friend of mine who used to come in my office every week, and he was always looking for permission to quit. He called it the confession booth. Some of y'all know who I'm talking about, but he'd come knock on my door. He'd say, is the confession booth open today? Come sit down, and he'd tell me some of the stuff he was dealing with, and I'd say, my goodness. I'd try to look positive and smile at him and say the right things, and I'm thinking, my goodness, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. Accused of all kinds of stuff, just crazy, crazy stuff. But he'd always say, can I quit this week? And I'd say, did God say you could quit? No. Well, then you can't quit. He'd say, okay, that's what I needed to hear. Listen, the conflict itself between his faith and the unbelief trying to steal his promise made him stronger because he held on no matter what. James 1, 2, and 3 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. What does that mean? That word perseverance literally means cheerful or hopeful endurance. All right, let me give you another one. Number five, against all odds, glorify God. Against all odds, glorify God. The Passion Translation says Abraham glorified God. The NIV says it this way. He gave glory to God. He gave glory to God. So I want you to notice that Abraham gave glory to God for the blessing. Listen, before it happened. There's a secret in there. Give God the glory before it ever even happens. You know, that lines up with what the New Testament teaches. You know, you have to believe God and you thank him for the answer when you pray. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The Living Bible says it this way. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers, even before you see them. See, you can't wait until you get the answer to praise God for it. Today, you might be facing some obstacles or some situations that seem to have you in a box, so to speak, and you feel all boxed in. You need to recognize the facts that exist. Recognize them. They are there. But as you face them, exercise your faith. Give glory to God, and you'll find your faith is being strengthened through this. Don't cow to those things. Number six, against all odds, be convinced of God's power to carry out his promise. Be convinced. Again, now when I'm talking about this, I'm not talking about in the head. I'm talking about in the spirit. We got to learn how to hear from the spirit. Spirit speaks to spirit. The Holy Spirit, God who is spirit, speaks to your spirit. He doesn't speak to your head. So verse 21a, it says, and because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promises. And it is awfully hard to be convinced of what God says if you have no idea what God says. You have to get a word from God. You don't have to get a word from the pastor. You don't have to get a word from your Christian friend. You don't have to get a word from an intercessor. You got to get a word from God. And God will speak to you in many ways. The first way, the main way being through right through his word. He will speak to you. if you bother to seek out His Word. And so too many people are trying to receive from God, but they don't know what the Word of God says for them or concerning them or their situation. And so someone told them what God said, or they heard a testimony of how God delivered somebody else, but that's not good enough. Faith doesn't come from hearing somebody's testimony. Faith comes from hearing what God says to you. Amen? It's one thing to say, I think so, or I heard, but it's another thing to say, I know, I know. And when you say, I know, that means you're persuaded beyond the shadow of a doubt. Abraham was strong in faith, so he faced the facts of natural impossibility, but he did not waver at the promise of God. And why didn't he waver? Because he was fully convinced, fully persuaded. See, our position is to face the facts, not waver, exercise our faith, give glory to God, be fully convinced of His power. That's our responsibility. And it's God's responsibility to do the impossible. So let me ask you, in your impossible situation, where are you in those steps that we see demonstrated through Abraham? Where are you? You might want to have to go back and realize, you know what? I missed a step here, or maybe I skipped a step here in this situation that I'm dealing with. We don't have to try to figure out how He's going to do it, because God said and understand He will do it, but we have to participate with Him. And unfortunately, many people today are in a position where they're staggering, they're wavering, they're wondering if the promise of God is really for them. Well, they're not going to receive anything from God that way. That's what the scripture tells us. Remember when the apostle Paul was on a ship bound for Rome, and the wind and the waves tossed the boat back and forth so violently that the men on board gave up hope. The Bible says they gave up all hope of being saved. But God gave Paul a word. And so Paul told those guys, he said, listen, last night an angel of God, this is Acts 27, verse 23 through 25. Last night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will be just as He told me. He was in an impossible situation, in a terrible storm, the ship being torn to pieces, and all this kind of stuff happens, and yet Paul is completely confident, based on the fact that God said, there's no way you can die right here, Paul, because I got something for you to do in Rome. And he said, he told those men, you don't have to fear. And so I just believe that this year there are some impossible things that God wants to do in your life and through your life. And we're coming in a time where, as the church, if we can't believe by the Spirit, if we can't believe the impossible, we're going to fall for all kinds of stuff. Some people think if God was really in the situation, there wouldn't be any problems or tests. You know, there wouldn't be any trouble, but the Bible never said that, ever. Your faith gets exercised through all those things. And I just want to encourage you. I know what it's like sometimes after a certain amount of time. Sometimes you feel like, man, it's just so impossible. I just can't see this ever really happening. But when you start going down that line of thinking and you follow that and you focus on that, you know, it could have to do with anything going on in your life. When you begin to follow that and set your focus on that, then you're going to miss out on a whole lot of what God wants to do in and through you. How many of you believe that God wants to do, literally do, the supernatural and miraculous in and through your life? It's not just about you receiving something. Understand, He needs us to flow, allow Him to flow through, because there's a whole lot of work, kingdom work, that needs to be done. And listen, you and I are the ones who are going to do it. It's not going to be the world. So why don't you just lift your hands to the Lord if you truly want a supernatural, miraculous things to happen in and through your life, all for the glory of God, and you're willing to give God glory. Let's just go ahead and open our hearts to receive that today. Father, I thank You for every person in here this morning that's responded by lifting their hands. Lord, we know. God, that You want to do that which men cannot even explain. And You want to do that through Your people. And You want to do that in Your people. So, Father, I thank You even now. Lord, just as we're in a new year, it's a fresh start. I thank You for a fresh anointing upon Your people and upon this church, God. I pray for a fresh anointing to come upon those, Lord, who will obey you, who will walk with you, who will put their eyes upon you, Father God. And Lord, again, we will not run from the facts that face us, but we will face those facts and we will use the name of Jesus and the Word of God to overcome those things. Lord, I thank you for helping us to walk in faith, to live in faith, to act in faith, to move in faith, to speak in faith this year, God. We know there'll be things come against us, but I thank you, God, that through Jesus Christ, we have the victory. So I declare over these people, Father, I declare over them victory. I declare over them blessings upon blessings for not only them, but for their children and their children's children and on down their family line, Father. We declare that everything that you have promised, Lord, will be fulfilled in their life, in your time, Father, but it will be fulfilled. And we will not stagger at your promises. We will not waver, God. We declare, God, that we will trust you. We will believe you through it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, even this week, Lord, as they're going about doing whatever they're doing, whether it's on the job or in a grocery store or wherever they are, that as an opportunity arises, you will move supernaturally through them. I thank you, Father. There'll be people who lay the hands on the sick and see them recover. They'll heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, heal incurable diseases. That is your will for your church. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you're in agreement, why don't you shout amen?
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.